It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hi, yes. 10:02 on this Wednesday midday. BT, Sal, they are off. Mark Melusis and Otis Livingston in studio for the next 4 hours, right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. My man Otis, we haven't been together since... We were talking about this before the show. Yeah. I think the last time we did a show together was last spring, right? Rangers playoff hockey, right?
Yes, it certainly was. That was the last time. Pleasure to be here today. Normally, I'd be out at Jets camp, but looking forward to today for the next 4 hours.
Well, instead of watching Aaron Rodgers, you get to sit with me for 4 hours.
Win-win.
I don't think that's comparable.
It's a win. It's a win.
Otis, you doing well?
Yeah, doing great, man. Looking forward to today. Like I said, just been out at Jets camp. A little bit of Giants, you know.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready for this season. We'll have our first preseason game on CBS New York this Saturday at noon, which our viewers and listeners can tune in. I'll be doing the sidelines for that. So Jets heavy. Jets
nice.
Heavy.
Nice. Yeah, and that's where we'll begin. We'll talk a little gangrene football because, as Robert Saleh said when he discussed the unexcused absence of Aaron Rodgers at minicamp, right? What's good for Aaron is good for us, as Aaron was out there touring the pyramids over in Egypt instead of being with his teammates. And listen, I didn't make that all that big of a deal of it at the time, Otis, but the big debate or conversation now comes along with Rodgers outside of what is he going to look like being in his 40s, coming off a torn Achilles 4 plays into the season.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of conversation layers to that as well. Is what exactly and how do you handle him through the preseason here? As the Jets get set to open up their preseason against Washington, they're going to see Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn already made that announcement for the Washington Commanders, their rookie quarterback, former Heisman Trophy winner from LSU, and the second overall draft choice this spring in the NFL draft. But how do you handle Rodgers? That's the big thing here. You know, coming off the torn Achilles 4 plays into the year, he tried to be a medical marvel. He wasn't able to return last year. Now the question is, do you need to knock off a little bit of the ring rust off Rodgers in the preseason before things get going against San Francisco?
Well, we know for the first 2 games, Tyrod Taylor is going to play. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play. My thoughts are that Robert Saleh did not want to commit to saying that he's not going to play at all during the preseason, because if Aaron Rodgers wants to play in that last game against the Giants, I believe that the Jets will follow his lead, allow him to play, because who wants to go out there against that San Francisco 49er defense opening night, Monday night, under the bright lights? That's your first action of the year. And I know that there's a lot of talk about getting preseason action, getting preseason snaps against some good defenses in these joint practices, but there's nothing like that final preseason game where he would go up against the Giants' first team defense, which would be formidable for him, give him a good test for the opener. I believe that if he decides that he wants to play and that he needs the action before that Monday night opener, that the Jets will follow his lead, because they've done that a lot with a lot of decisions that they've made. They follow his lead. And
well,
just like you said, the Egyptian situation,
Yeah, going over to Egypt. Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, I think for a guy that has accomplished really, nothing with the Jets other than provide hope, and that hope was dashed 4 plays into the season last year, he's got a tremendous amount of power. Why? Yeah. Because the Jets are desperate, right? I mean, they're desperate. We've watched Zach Wilson play quarterback. He's now a member of the Denver Broncos. Quarterback situation, the quarterback is the most important position in the National Football League. And Rodgers provides that solution. So he comes here as the 4-time MVP quarterback, winning quarterback, a Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, an immortal, a historically great, first ballot Hall of Famer. And he comes here and provides hope for the Jets. So the Jets are going to be on bended knee. Plus, here's the other factor. They all still have jobs because Rodgers wants them to be here because he's comfortable. I mean, that's the other aspect of it, too. So you look at it, what Rodgers wants, Rodgers is going to get. You saw him from player personnel year number one, not so much year number two. But Saleh's still here. Joe Douglas is still here. Nathaniel Hackett is still here, even though they tried to replace him during the course of the offseason. And Rodgers was aware of that situation because Rodgers is comfy and cozy with everybody in place, and whatever is good for Aaron is good for the Jets.
Yeah, and he looked great running out with that flag that in the home opener last year, and then 4 plays we saw what happened. But he does, he gives them hope. As you said, 4-time MVP, Super Bowl champion. I think they were they're still surprised that he chose them to come to this organization, because the Jets don't get a player like that. And he comes here, and along with him signing on the dotted line and becoming your franchise quarterback, that you give up a lot for him. You know what I mean? To him and what he thinks, what he wants, the personnel decisions, bringing in Randall Cobb, Lazard, all that kind of stuff that comes along with the package.
But you've seen, I mean, you covered sports a long time, right? I can't think of an example where a player that, you know, it would be one thing if the Jets are coming off a playoff appearance, mm-hmm. Rodgers coming off an MVP caliber season, whatever it might be. And I get at the beginning, you know, you're going to be on bended knee and you're going to bow to the whims of Aaron Rodgers. Whatever he wants, Rodgers is going to go out there and get. Have you ever seen a player that hasn't really accomplished anything for an organization have as much power as Rodgers has within that organization? Like, we'll get into the Brunson being named captain by the Knicks right. yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. Like, you look at Judge. Judge needed to earn it.
Yeah.
Right? He did.
Yeah.
You look at other guys. I mean, but Rodgers has done, you want to look at it. I mean, Bryce, that Rodgers has accomplished nothing as a Jet, yet he basically, the entire organization runs through him. It's no longer the New York Jets. It's the New York Rodgers. I mean, that's it. And, you know, you're right. You're 100% correct. Even though Robert Saleh didn't really want to commit when he was asked about it, about a week ago mm-hmm. down in Florham Park, and I'm sure you were there, Otis.
Yep.
You know, he didn't want to commit one way or the other when it comes to Rodgers, but if Rodgers feels like he needs reps in that third game, he's going to take him.
Yeah,
if he feels like he doesn't, you know what? We'll see a week one against the San Francisco 49ers. But whatever Aaron wants, the Jets are going to go out there and do.
Certainly. And I think the organization wants to get him to game one. They don't want it to get derailed in the preseason. So I think they're going to they want to bubble wrap him. They don't want him to see any action in the preseason. But again, if he wants to play, if he feels like in year 21 or, you know, that he needs to go out there and get some action beforehand, they're going to, like you said, on bended knee, they're going to do what he wants them to do, because he's been through so many of these things. He knows his body. And this is a new thing for him, that the torn Achilles, missing all of last season, trying to come back, as you said, late in the season when everything was out of reach and no playoffs or anything like that was in reach. They shut it all down. But this is new, uncharted territory for him. He wants to see, you know, I'm out there at camp. He's running around. He's doing what he can do in training camp. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think Robert Saleh left that door open for a reason.
Yeah, he did, and we'll see exactly where we go here moving forward when it comes to Rodgers. But I would make the argument to this, is that if I were the Jets, if there's something you're going to put your foot down to,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, Tyron Smith going through whatever he's going through physically right now, right? And he has not been the epitome of health toward the tail end of his run with the Dallas Cowboys, and the Jets were able to bring him on the cheap. A rebuilt offensive line, you want to make sure that he's good to go week one against the San Francisco 49ers. Here's what helps the Jets. What helps the Jets is that Rodgers is going up against an elite-level defense day in and day out at camp. So regardless of, you know, what you're going to see, say, against the Giants in that third preseason game, you know, the Giants defense, as good as I think Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau are going to be, and as much love as I have for Dexter Lawrence, the Giants defense isn't nearly as talented when you're looking at their 11 as compared to the Jets. So if I'm Saleh, if there's something I'm going to put my foot down onto, regardless of what Rodgers wants, it would be this. Now, do I think that means anything? No. I mean, because I think he's going up against what is going to be, if they're going to get the Hassan Reddick situation worked out, I think it's going to be a top three defense in the National Football League that has the ability to impose their will. And this year, Otis, they're actually going to have an offense that can actually move the football and score some points.
And that's what both sides of the football are talking about out of camp, that iron sharpens iron type thing, where the defense, you know, is formidable. They put up a lot of resistance against that offense. The offense with Aaron Rodgers back there matching wits with the safeties and linebackers and things like that, that they're making each other better. So, yeah, he gets that work during the practices, but they're not hitting. He's got to take a hit. He's got to move around for his life. Run, you know what I mean? Like, try to escape somebody.
Well, you hope not. The offensive line's decent enough.
Yeah. Well, they feel like that offensive line has been improved, and it's going to continue to improve because they know job one is to keep Aaron Rodgers upright, keep him protected, even though that injury last year was kind of – it wasn't anything where it was because of a breakdown in the offensive line, but it was just an injury to – you know, to his Achilles. But yeah, they go up against each other every day. He's seeing one of the best defenses in the NFL every day, but it's about getting hit. It's about running around, fearing for your life, making decisions down the field, and things like that he needs to get back acclimated to.
But would you put him in harm's way?
I probably would not let him play in the preseason. We got to get him to game one, and then we'll see what happens against the San Francisco 49ers on Monday night.
And then you hope and pray and cross the fingers that the offensive line holds up against that San Fran defense.
And that he can make it to week two.
Yeah, and that he can make it to week two, because that's really what it's at about right now.
Yeah.
And listen, I think everyone expects, because it just happens to be the case with the Jets, and you know, you had Beningo on this morning, you know, the pain, and the Jet fan kicking the tin can down the street, and the expectation is obviously things are not going to go well at some point in time. You know, when you look at the Jets, things are going to break right. And I'm not saying they've never broken right, right? We all lived through the Rex Ryan era and the back-to-back AFC championship games and Mark Sanchez winning playoff games and that, all that. Like, and they had wins, big-time wins with Herm Edwards.
Yep.
But you know, they haven't won a Super Bowl since Joe Namath. And Rodgers was brought here. I've heard the debate and the conversation about Rodgers is that, well, you know, you can't have the expectations to win a Super Bowl. That's nonsense.
Whew.
Those are the expectations.
They have
when
to
you
be.
Go out there and bring in a quarterback of the caliber of Rodgers, even at this stage of his career, just like when they brought Brett Favre, is you're not just to make the playoffs, not to just be playoff relevant or be playing meaningful games down the stretch of the season. The goal is to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That is
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, you could lose a tough AFC championship game to Mahomes and the Chiefs and be right there. And you know what? You could look back on and say, oh, it was a good season. And we'll see exactly what the Jets look like in 2025. They have not made the moves that they have made. A lot of short-term moves to go all in on this season and not have the expectation to not only be really good in the regular season, but it'd be a team to be reckoned with come the playoffs.
Yeah, you don't bring in a first ballot Hall of Famer like this who was playing near the top of his game. Remember, he was an MVP a couple seasons before he even got here, if I'm not mistaken. But think about how everything went down. You had Hard Knocks. You had Aaron Rodgers here. You had high hopes. Four plays into the season.
Oh, it's just terrible.
It's unbelievable. So, of course, Jet fans are going to think about kicking the can down.
But at some time, the football gods are going to look on the Jets and say, you know what? You've lived through enough pain. Maybe give you a little bit of joy. Maybe give you a little bit of happiness. You haven't seen the playoffs since 2010. Maybe this is the year.
Well, you know, you're talking about Joe Beningo. I mean, he'll say, not in my lifetime, bro. Not again in my lifetime. You know, he got to see it that one time, so he had his thrill. Will it happen again? Will it happen with Aaron Rodgers? Who knows? We shall see. First step is keeping him healthy and him gelling with his offensive players, his weapons, Garrett Wilson and guys like that. You know, we saw some of that in the preseason, and I believe that Garrett Wilson with a healthy Aaron Rodgers is going to make a huge step this season. I mean, he's been back-to-back 1,000-yard receptions with guys like Trevor Siemian, Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, guys Ripon. I can only imagine what he'll... Huh?
He's a stud.
Yeah, he is a stud. So, and I think that he's becoming even more comfortable. I think last year, with Aaron Rodgers going into his first season here, there was so much reverence, so much... around him that Garrett Wilson would not have been able to have those discussions that we've seen him have with him on the sidelines this preseason. I think he's a year further into it, and he knows that they have to hit the ground running. They have to be on the same page. They have to be detailed, all that sort of thing. So I think he's a little more comfortable talking to Aaron this preseason, and that's probably why we saw those animated discussions on the sidelines.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 10:24 on this Wednesday midday. Mark Melusis, Otis Livingston with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Got it going a little football. Talking about Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Got to get a shirt made up. If it's good for Aaron, it's good for us. I think that's really the moneymaker. Yeah. We're going to make a little extra coin. Print that one up. I think that
nice side it. Hustle.
That's exactly right. No doubt. Who's not looking for a little side hustle? As far as the Giants are concerned, and we'll get into the Reddick situation a little bit, but you know, I thought the hard knock stuff was interesting when you look at the Giants. I think you learned, you know, it's not like you learned anything that you probably already didn't know. Mm-hmm. You just have a little bit more kind of a feel as far as the conversations that were allowed out for us to be able to take in as viewers. But you knew that, you know, the time was running out on Saquon Barkley. You knew that the Giants had an affinity, or that John Mara, the co-owner, had an affinity for Saquon Barkley. But, you know, he ends up with the Philadelphia Eagles. And you knew that the Giants were pursuing a quarterback during the course of the offseason. That's exactly what you saw. I don't know if I necessarily took, you know, outside of maybe the inner workings, Otis, but I'm curious what your take in terms of what you saw from Hard Knocks with Big Blue, what you took away from the offseason with the New York Giants.
That they were busy, you know, they were trying to improve the football team. I thought it was, like you said, it's nothing earth-shattering, eye-opening, but you did get to see behind the scenes, which as far as the off-season goes, you never get to see that.
Well,
kind
it's better
of stuff.
Than the one that you're going to see in training camp. Yeah, you've been there, done that. Yeah. Right. So yeah. I think we're all looking for something a little bit different. The Giants obviously celebrating their 100th anniversary. You know, they sign up to go out there and do it. I think it was a little bit more interesting than what you see over the course of the training camps, because I think that's kind of gotten played out a little bit. You're seeing the Chicago Bears now. I mean, I don't know. I necessarily get into all that much. We're at a different point in time in terms of viewership in the National Football League from when, you know, the Baltimore Ravens did it.
With, right.
You know, Brian Billick is the head coach, and Tony Siragusa, God rest his soul, Ray Lewis, and all that Raven team. Sharp was on that team. Very, very highly entertaining team. But, you know, they were doing something different at that time. Right. Just like now with the Giants, you got a little bit of a feel about what an offseason looks like for an NFL team and the conversations and the real conversations that do happen.
Yeah, and you got to wonder how that affects Daniel Jones, you know, the realization of them trying to get another quarterback, thinking about in the draft, getting a quarterback, all that sort of stuff. See what type of fire. And now it's really out there. You know, everyone speculates that this is what the Giants were had in mind, but now it's actually out there right now. So you have to wonder what kind of fire it's lit under him. And relating this to the Jets, remember last year they went through the hard knocks and the high hopes and everything, but they said this year that they're really glad that that's over, you know, because now it's all about ball. It's all about details. It's all about, you know, because when you go through something like that, you're wondering who's turning on a little extra to help their brand, you know, to have the viral sound bites that go out or things like that, or actions during the preseason training camp. So they're happy that it's over and it's more about football now. Let's get down to the basics, and you know, those cameras aren't following us. We don't have to watch what we say, the chemistry that we're starting to build and everything like that. So I did like that though, because it did give you an insight as to the inner workings of what an organization is doing.
Yeah,
in the offseason.
And listen, for Jones, I don't think there's any doubt, you know, and you know, you're a former athlete, your son plays over in Europe and highly successful. Like you look at it for the athlete, you know, especially when you look at the professional athlete, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
Jones understands it. He responded 2 years ago, played pretty well. The Giants went to the playoffs. They beat the Minnesota Vikings. He was the best player on the field that day. You know, everyone looks at the amount of money that he is being paid. I mean, he did not hold a gun to the Giants' head in order to pay him that kind of contract. The Giants paid him what the going rate is when you're looking at a starting quarterback, quote-unquote franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. I know there's different calibers of franchise quarterback, but when they're looking at their guy, they paid the going rate for Daniel Jones. Now, you know, he doesn't have a tremendous amount of supporters in the tri-state area that necessarily believe in Daniel Jones. But, you know, that has to burn from within.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Giants went out there and did all their homework on this entire quarterback class Had to be a long offseason for Daniel Jones. And I would imagine, Otis, that's going to put a huge chip on his shoulder going into the season. Now, how does it look? Can he stay healthy? What does the offensive line look like? There's other variables that come into the course of the conversation. But for Jones personally, I would imagine that he has got a massive chip on his shoulder, wanting to prove all the naysayers wrong. Yeah. If he's got any competitive bone in his body.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, you should not. You're a professional, first off, so you shouldn't have to have any extra motivation. But this certainly would put a lot of wood on the fire, man. He's got to want to go out there. And of course, the biggest question is his health. Can he stay healthy? Because when he is healthy, he's a good quarterback. I remember when Mike Conley got paid, this is in the NBA, of course, that he got paid and was the richest contract in NBA history, and he wasn't even an all-star for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's the value that they held him, not the league. He wasn't going to get that contract for anybody else, but for that team, he was that valuable. And it's a similar situation with Daniel Jones. They paid him what the rate was at the time because they believe in him. He's got to go out there and prove that he's worth that, and then put all that other stuff to bed where they aren't looking for another franchise quarterback. And of course, it starts with the offensive line, starts with him staying healthy, starts with him being productive. Got a nice weapon in Malik Nabers now. A lot of talk about him coming out of camp and what he can provide as far as a weapon for Daniel Jones. So we'll definitely see if he's able to prove the naysayers wrong and have a successful season.
Listen, they didn't get their quarterback. They didn't reach for a quarterback. They wanted to move up into the top three. The Giants couldn't move up into the top three because New England wanted to draft a quarterback, and Washington did it. Obviously, so did the Chicago Bears after they got rid of Justin Fields. So the opportunity to get their guy didn't present itself. Now, the secondary prize was Nabers, who I think is going to be an absolute stud as long as he stays healthy.
Monster.
Everything that you hear about him coming out of LSU, and I know it's wide receiver U when you look at LSU and the amount of players that have come out of there, Justin Jefferson, obviously Odell Beckham Jr. Now you look at a guy like Malik Nabers, Jamar Chase. Yeah. I mean, you run down
Jarvis Landry,
yeah. Who took last year off, but you know, and was in camp working out for the Jets last week. But you look at what Nabers can provide for this team. I think Giant fans are going to be ecstatic. It's a passing league. It's really a quarterback and wide receiver league when you're looking at it offensively. He has an opportunity to go out there and make this a lot easier on Daniel Jones if that offensive line can protect him and if Daniel Jones can go out there and stay healthy. You've seen it during the course of these mixed practices with the Detroit Lions ahead of tomorrow night's game, preseason opener for the New York Giants. Nabers is going to be an absolute stud.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, this is a team that almost got to the Super Bowl last season, the Detroit Lions, and they're working out with them during their joint practices. I don't know how much you are putting an emphasis on it, but I think it was like 17 passes thrown to him. He caught 16, a couple 20-yard touchdown passes, you know, reception. So that says a lot about him. I mean, they're talking about him possibly having the the ability to be the greatest Giant wide receiver. I know he hasn't played a game yet, but they're talking about talent-wise. They're talking about upside. They're talking about speed, attention to detail on its route running, things like that. And, yeah, he is a confident player. I don't like the fact that he got into a fight. I don't like the fact that he's risking his own health before he even plays his first preseason game. I guess he thought that that big white helmet looked like a pillow, and but that's a real helmet. You're going to hurt yourself. You don't want to start out behind the blocks, per se. But, it's a lot to be excited about.
But I do like the fight that the Giants showed against the Lions, literally.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that they're not getting pushed around. Mm-hmm. The Lions, Dan Campbell has been an instrument of change when you're looking at Detroit.
Yeah.
Has talked about changing the culture in Detroit football and has done that.
Yeah.
And they're a confident group going into this year. You know, if they didn't mess up coaching last year, they probably could have went easily to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They didn't. They lost to the San Francisco 49ers. However, I like the fact, and I get it, you're finally hitting somebody else.
Yeah.
Temper's flaring a little bit. You've got a confident, cocky bunch in the Lions coming to town. You're taking on them first preseason game. The Giants are showing some pushback. I agree with you. I don't necessarily want to see Malik Nabers going after a corner, or I don't necessarily want to see Daniel Jones wearing the red jersey, but it shows kind of a mindset of a team coming off what was a really disastrous year for Big Blue a year ago.
I agree. I love the fight, but I don't love the fight. You know what I mean? I mean, I wish that they the pushback and all that stuff, I'm really in favor of not getting pushed around. I like the fact that Devin Singletary ran in there and was able to get a punch in too. I mean, to protect his teammate. You know, I love Daniel Jones coming in there and getting a shove and things like that. But I just wish that you don't put yourself in harm's way, especially Daniel Jones. I mean, what happens if someone falls on him? Because they're all pushing.
Yeah.
Both sides. You got guys coming in there pulling people off, pushing people from behind and things like that. You get hurt during a preseason joint practice and you're out for a number of weeks. Now you've already set yourself behind, you know? So I get it. And it is, it's tempers are flaring, somebody else and all that kind of stuff. But the Jets had an inner squad scuffle yesterday, you know? And Robert Saleh said, hey, we got to protect ourselves. We got to take care of each other. Let's not do this. And he doesn't think that any of that type of stuff is going to happen when the Commanders come in for their joint practice tomorrow. So, tempers are flaring, but you got to be smart about it, I think.
Yeah, well, nobody got hurt. Jones is healthy.
Yep.
Singletary's healthy. Yep. Malik Nabers is healthy. I think Giant fans, even though they didn't get their quarterback of the future, they've got themselves a stud wide receiver in Nabers, who I think is going to be an absolute superstar in this league, as long as he stays healthy. And the other thing about him that you liked about LSU is he didn't necessarily take the field all the time playing in the SEC 100% healthy. So he's not a guy that's looking at it, trying to, you know, he'll go out there and play with some discomfort. And there's a difference between being hurt and there's a difference between being injured.
Right.
When you're looking at professional athletes.
No doubt.
If he is hurt and nursing a little bit of an injury, Malik Nabers showed you a toughness down at LSU that he's going to be able to battle through that. And he's not looking to, you know, tap out of a game. And that's something to be said, especially when you're looking at as barbaric a sport as the National Football League is. And that's something that tells you about the competitive spirit of the young man. And I think the Giants, even though they didn't get their quarterback, they got a guy that I think Giant fans are absolutely going to adore. And Jones is going to adore as long as he stays healthy, year number one.
Yeah, he's got that dog in him. You know, he wants to play. He wants to be great. You know, that, like you said, LSU, wide receiver university, there's a lot of guys on that list. He wants to be number one. And he's got an example of that right here in New York with Odell Beckham and how he set the world on fire when he was here.
He did, the catch against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
but then Odell became a pain in the rear end.
Of course. I think
that's one thing that you can't take with Nabers. I don't think you will. I don't think I don't think Malik's going to be doing the interview, knocking the quarterback and knocking Eli. Like, I don't think you're going to get any of that.
Proposing to the kicking net.
I don't think you're going to get any of that.
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I think that he's a nuts and bolts kind of guy, but he is confident. He's going to tell you that he thinks he's the best player out there, and that's what wide receivers are. They're divas. They want the ball all the time. They want to make plays, and I don't think that you can begrudge him for that. He wants to get out there and he wants to be a part of the action.
But here's when you look at training camp and what to look for and what not to look for, I think when it gives you confidence, like, I don't get into necessarily here, you know, Rodgers looks great in 7-on-7s, 11-on, whatever it might be. He's great.
Yeah.
I don't really get into the idea that Jones struggled early on in camp because it kind of feeds the narrative. Well, if he looked great, people would say, let's see what he looks like week one of the regular season. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
Oh, Daniel Jones is on point. That's great. It's practice. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
So if he looks terrible, well, I'll give you the same answer. It's practice. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to knock off a little bit of the ring rust. He tore his ACL last November against the Vegas Raiders. However, I do think when you're having Nabers doing what he is doing, especially when you're having the joint practices against the Lions, I do think that's meaningful because receivers sometimes take a little bit of time to adjust in the National Football League. They're historically, not every receiver, but when you're seeing Nabers being able to do what he is doing early on here, showing you the toughness, the no fear, the confidence, being able to kind of run the precise routes that he's running, I think it shows you just how good he's going to be right from the word go.
It's definitely a precursor. I mean, he's out there, and again, against a defense in the Detroit Lions, the past couple days that has aspirations for Super Bowl, could have been there last year. So he's doing it against a reputable secondary. He's out there making plays. He's giving people confidence. He's getting rave reviews from training camp. So, yeah, I think going forward, we should expect him to have a huge impact for this team, to put up big numbers. And if Daniel Jones and that offensive line can take care of business, this could be one of the best wide receivers in the league at a young age in his rookie season, because that's the talk that's coming out of camp right now.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Moose and Otis with you. 10:45 here on this Wednesday midday. Kicked it off, talk a little football. We'll get into Cole. Yankees. Rain out last night, double dip today, weather permitting. Not exactly beautiful weather out here on this Wednesday in the tri-state area. Talked a little football, kicking off the program. I'll tell you, the thing when you look at both locals that, you know, would be concerning to me outside of, you know, guys staying relatively healthy is, I don't know if I necessarily believe that the Jets have a head coach that's capable of taking them to where they need to go. When I look at Robert Saleh, I think he's a good. I think he's a good player-friendly coach. Mm-hmm. I think he defends his players. He obviously, as we know, you know, wants to, you know, be friends with everybody in the media, and keep up those relationships. I think, you know, accountability when it comes to Saleh leaves me a little wanting. You saw some sloppiness when it comes to it. His team's play last year when it comes to penalties. I don't know, and listen, Saleh's got a tremendous quarterback in Rodgers if he stays healthy. They're a remarkably talented defense. But if you're looking, and you don't necessarily have to have an all-time great coach in order to go out and accomplish it. I get it. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. George Seifert was not an all-time great coach. Won with the San Francisco 49ers, right? So you don't necessarily need that. It helps. I mean, it helps when you have a head coach that puts your team in the best possible position to be successful. You've seen warts from Saleh the past couple of years here with Zach Wilson. You really have. And from this entire coaching staff, the inability to deal with injuries and the inability to prepare their teams and put them in the best possible position to be successful. Now, does he have a more talented team now this year than he, say, did a year ago? Probably, mm-hmm. as long as Hassan Reddick is there. But the coach, to me, I think the Giants have got a good coach in Daboll. Mm-hmm. I think he's got to go out there and prove it. He's only been here 2 years. However, the preparedness in year one, which wasn't necessarily prevalent in year number two, I think Daboll's going to learn from those mistakes. Saleh, to me, continues to replicate the same mistakes he makes over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And how can you look at a head coach who has the understanding that he's still here because the quarterback wants him here? I mean, that's the other aspect of it as well. And how then do you hold the quarterback then accountable if Rodgers needs to be held accountable if you're the head coach?
I don't know if you do. I mean, you'd like to have a head coach who can drop the gavel, can make decisions based on his gut or what he knows and not be at the behest of the all-time great quarterback. But that's the situation that he's in.
You think Saleh's a good enough coach to take this team to where they need to go?
I think,
from what we've seen,
he does. He leaves a lot to be desired. But I believe that with the
nice guy, runs very, the stands, very nice guy, physically fit, all of those things, got a huge family, all those things. Good man, good guy, all
check
those things.
Check the boxes.
Check the boxes up and down the line, right? I mean, he fills out the, you know, looks good on the sideline, all those things.
Yeah.
Is he a good head coach? Do you think he's a championship-winning head coach?
I think right now he is still learning the position. And I know that it's been, what, the fourth year now? I think that he's learning that job. I think he was a defensive coordinator, and he was very good at that as far as a total team aspect. Maybe he's learning the offensive side of the football. I think the jury's still out on what he's going to be. But I believe that if he has a successful season this year, that he can parlay that into a longer leash here with the New York Jets. And yeah, Aaron Rodgers probably does make those decisions as far as the general manager, the head coach, who he wants to be around because he has that much sway with the organization. But I think this could be a pivotal year for Robert Saleh. He needs to establish himself, not just because of the talent, but because of decisions that he makes in game and out of games.
But is that healthy? And we mentioned earlier in the hour about the Jets. Finally, at some point in time, the football gods are going to smile upon, you know, Beningo and all the Jet fans out there. Ira in Staten Island, longtime caller here to WFAN. And the Jets are going to have an uber successful year. And it's not just going to be Joe Namath as the Super Bowl winning quarterback. And, you know, and that unbelievable moment when they, you know, they knocked off the Colts, right?
Yeah.
With all that, though, you know, does that set you up for success? when you are a head coach taking the field, knowing that, you know, you can only go so far with a player because you're here, because the player wants you here, and that he's comfortable with you being here. When you are a head coach and you've shown the lack of ability to adapt to when you lose personnel on your team, when you are a head coach and your greatest asset is that you're a very player-friendly head coach, and there isn't the, you know, the buck stops here kind of mentality. And I get, in today's day and age of professional sports, I would say it's player empowerment.
True.
Right? And it's different Fact. Now than it was 20 or 30 years ago. I'm not going all the way back, you know, to when, you know, Bill Walsh was on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. It's a complete, but we saw in New England with Belichick and the Patriots, you know, there was a healthy respect for what Belichick was going out there to do, and there was an inherent trust the players had in Belichick that he was going to put them in the best possible position to be successful. Now, it was hard. There mm-hmm. were certain players that couldn't take it, they couldn't handle it, couldn't deal with the stress, couldn't deal with the preparedness, everything that Belichick asked you to go out there and do as a player. Not every player would thrive in his system. Mm-hmm. Do you get that with Salah when you look at him as a head coach and say to yourself, you know what? Yeah, he puts us in the best possible position to be successful as a team.
I'm not exactly sure about that, but I do believe that the players believe in him. And a lot of times that is what makes the difference with a football team. If you believe in the guy and then you go out, you make adjustments in game, you know, linebacker makes a call, this, that, and a third. You have a quarterback who can overcome a lot of warts on this football team. If you have that opportunity, if you're talking about just head coaching, if he's going to be the reason that they are successful, I'm not going to say that he's the only reason that they're going to
Well, the reason they're going to be successful this year is Rodgers.
Exactly, exactly.
Do you think it has anything to do with Salah?
No.
So the head coach plays no role with the Jets this year?
No, I'm not saying that. I go back to, I think that he's learning on the job. I don't think that he's a finished product as a head coach. Now, acquiescing to Aaron Rodgers, that's not a good thing. You need a guy that's going to be in there and make decisions and not think about his standing with the team or anything like that. He has to have that confidence that he can make the decisions regardless of the players or what the outcome is going to be. He has to know and be confident in what he can do. That's what he needs to be. We're hoping that but Jet fans are hoping that he becomes more of a finished product.
Especially in a scenario where it's, you know,
Super Bowl
or
bust. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
It's win or go home this year. I mean, that's it.
Yep.
I mean, the Jets, if we're talking about 5-6 months from now and the Jets are not a playoff team, Salah's going to be out of a job.
I believe that.
And I'd be hard-pressed to think that Robert's going to be getting a head coaching opportunity based anytime soon based on the job that he did here in New York.
Because he did not prove that he would have been a reputable head coach. And we see that happen a lot of times.
Yeah, when you think about it. Like, Rodgers has to overcome a lot. He has to overcome the ineptitude of Hackett as the OC. He has to deal with the history of the failure of the Jets organization. He's also now got to deal with a head coach that's more focused probably on the defense than all three phases. Like, Aaron Rodgers has to overcome a lot. They put a lot on his shoulders.
Yes. And he would tell the fans, R-E-L-A-X, relax. I'm in control here. I can make this happen. So
fortunately, it's not 10 years ago. He's 40 and he's coming off a torn Achilles.
But in his mind, I think he believes that he can still do it.
10:55, Melusis and Otis Livingston with you on this Wednesday Midday. In for BT and Sal. Come back with your calls and more next.
Coming out of camp right now.
Talk New York sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Moose and Otis with you, 10:45 here on this Wednesday midday. Kicked it off, talk a little football. We'll get into Cole, Yankees. Rain out last night, double dip today, weather permitting. Not exactly beautiful weather out here on this Wednesday in the tri-state area. Talked a little football, kicking off the program. I'll tell you, the thing when you look at both locals that, you know, would be concerning to me outside of, you know, guys staying relatively healthy is I don't know if I necessarily believe that the Jets have a head coach that's capable of taking them to where they need to go. When I look at Robert Saleh, I think he's a good player-friendly coach. Mm-hmm. I think he defends his players. He obviously, as we know, you know, wants to, you know, be friends with everybody in the media, and keep up those relationships. I think, you know, accountability when it comes to Saleh leaves me a little wanting. You saw some sloppiness when it comes to it. His team's play last year when it comes to penalties. I don't know. And listen, Saleh's got a tremendous quarterback in Rodgers if he stays healthy. They are a remarkably talented defense. But if you're looking, and you don't necessarily have to have an all-time great coach in order to go out and accomplish it. I get it. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. George Seifert was not an all-time great coach. Won with the San Francisco 49ers, right? So you don't necessarily need that. It helps. I mean, it helps when you have a head coach that puts your team in the best possible position to be successful. You've seen warts from Saleh the past couple years here with Zach Wilson. You really have. And from this entire coaching staff, the inability to deal with injuries and the inability to prepare their teams and put them in the best possible position to be successful. Now, does he have a more talented team now this year than he, say, did a year ago? Probably, as long as Hassan Reddick is there. But the coach, to me, I think the Giants have got a good coach in Daboll. I think he's got to go out there and prove it. He's only been here 2 years. However, the preparedness in year one, which wasn't necessarily prevalent in year number two, I think Daboll's going to learn from those mistakes. Saleh, to me, continues to replicate the same mistakes he makes over and over and over again. And how can you look at a head coach who has the understanding that he's still here because the quarterback wants him here? I mean, that's the other aspect of it as well. And how then do you hold the quarterback then accountable if Rodgers needs to be held accountable if you're the head coach?
I don't know if you do. I mean, you'd like to have a head coach who can drop the gavel, can make decisions based on his gut or what he knows and not be at the behest of the all-time great quarterback. But that's the situation that he's in. He himself.
You think Saleh's a good enough coach to take this team to where they need to go?
I think,
from what we've seen,
he does. He leaves a lot to be desired. But I believe that with the
nice guy, runs the stairs, very nice guy, physically fit, all of those things. Got a huge family, all those things. Good man, good guy, all
check
those things.
Check the boxes
up and down the line, right? I mean, he fills out the, you know, looks good on the sideline, all those things.
Yeah.
Is he a good head coach? Do you think he's a championship-winning head coach?
I think right now he is still learning the position. And I know that it's been, what, the fourth year now? I think that he's learning that job. I think he was a defensive coordinator, and he was very good at that as far as a total team aspect. Maybe he's learning the offensive side of the football. I think the jury's still out on what he's going to be. But I believe that if he has a successful season this year, that he can parlay that into a longer leash here with the New York Jets. And Aaron Rodgers probably does make those decisions as far as the general manager, the head coach, who he wants to be around because he has that much sway with the organization. But I think this could be a pivotal year for Robert Saleh. He needs to establish himself, not just because of the talent, but because of decisions that he makes in game and out of games.
But is that healthy? And we mentioned earlier in the hour about the Jets. Finally, at some point in time, the football gods are going to smile upon, you know, Beningo and all the Jet fans out there. Ira in Staten Island, longtime caller here to WFAN. And the Jets are going to have an uber successful year. And it's not just going to be Joe Namath as the Super Bowl winning quarterback. And, you know, and that unbelievable moment when they, you know, they knocked off the Colts, right?
Yeah.
With all that, though, you know, does that set you up for success? When you are a head coach taking the field, knowing that, you know, you could only go so far with a player because you're here, because the player wants you here, and that he's comfortable with you being here. When you are a head coach and you've shown the lack of ability to adapt to when you lose personnel on your team, when you are a head coach and your greatest asset is that you're a very player-friendly head coach, and there isn't the, you know, the buck stops here kind of mentality. And I get, in today's day and age of professional sports, Otis, it's player empowerment.
True.
Right? And it's different now than it was 20 or 30 years ago. I'm not going all the way back, you know, to when, you know, Bill Walsh was on the sidelines. It's a complete, but we saw in New England with Belichick and the Patriots, you know, there was a healthy respect for what Belichick was going out there to do, and there was an inherent trust the players had in Belichick that he was going to put them in the best possible position to be successful. Now, it was hard. There were certain players that couldn't take it, they couldn't handle it, couldn't deal with the stress, couldn't deal with the preparedness, everything that Belichick asked you to go out there and do as a player. Not every player would thrive in his system. Do you get that with Saleh when you look at him as a head coach and say to yourself, you know what? Yeah, he puts us in the best possible position to be successful as a team.
I'm not exactly sure about that, but I do believe that the players believe in him. And a lot of times that is what makes the difference with a football team. If you believe in the guy and then you go out, you make adjustments in game, you know, linebacker makes a call, this, that, and a third. You have a quarterback who can overcome a lot of warts on this football team. If you have that opportunity, if you're talking about just head coaching, if he's going to be the reason that they are successful, I'm not going to say that he's the only reason that they're going to be
Well, the reason they're going to be successful this year is Rodgers.
Exactly, exactly.
Do you think it has anything to do with Saleh?
No.
So the head coach plays no role with the Jets this year?
No, I'm not saying that. I go back to, I think that he's learning on the job. I don't think that he's a finished product as a head coach. Now, acquiescing to Aaron Rodgers, that's not a good thing. You need a guy that's going to be in there and make decisions and not think about his standing with the team or anything like that. He has to have that confidence that he can make the decisions regardless of the players or what the outcome is going to be. He has to know and be confident in what he can do. That's what he needs to be. We're hoping that but Jet fans are hoping that he becomes more of a finished product.
Especially in a scenario where it's, you know,
Super Bowl or bust. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
It's win or go home this year. I mean, that's it.
Yep.
I mean, the Jets, if we're talking about 5-6 months from now and the Jets are not a playoff team, Saleh's going to be out of a job.
I believe that.
And I'd be hard-pressed to think that Robert's going to be getting a head coaching opportunity anytime soon based on the job that he did here in New York.
Because he did not prove that he would have been a reputable head coach. And we see
that's
that happen a lot of times.
Yeah, when you think about it. Like, Rodgers has to overcome a lot. He has to overcome the ineptitude of Hackett as the OC. He has to deal with the history of the failure of the Jets organization. He's also now got to deal with a head coach that's more focused probably on the defense than all three phases. Like, Aaron Rodgers has to overcome a lot. They put a lot on his shoulders.
Yes. And he would tell the fans, R-E-L-A-X, relax. I'm in control here. I can make this happen. So
fortunately, it's about 10 years ago. He's 40 and he's coming off a torn Achilles.
But in his mind, I think he believes that he can still do it.
10:55, Melusis and Otis Livingston with you on this Wednesday Monday. In for BT and Sal. Come back with your calls and more next.